I'm so honored to be able to lead prayer over you tonight, brother. And if you would, people of faith, just reach your hand out toward Pastor Jones, and we're going to bless him and send him with a blessing. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, for my brother, Father, Pastor Jones. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are giving him and his ministry team the strength, Father, and the wisdom needed to continue the harvest, Father, laborers in the harvest that you've called them to. We speak a blessing over his entire ministry. We speak a blessing over his family. Thank you for divine protection, God, as he goes in, Father, to the hotbed of so much hate and violence. I thank you that the Prince of Peace would rule and reign in their hearts. We stand united with our brother in Christ, Father, in prayer. And we thank you, God, that you will lay him, his ministry, his family on our hearts, and that we as a local body here would commit to prayer for him, Father, and commit to see, Lord, the plans and purposes that you've placed inside of him for his ministry accomplished in the earth. So, Father, we say, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in and through this brother's life. Thank you, Father, for just increasing him, Father, his heart, enlarging his heart, expanding his territory. Father, we just thank you, and we call projects that are on the horizon fully funded in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that the word is going to continue to go forth in boldness. We thank you that as more and more Muslims, Father, convert to the life-giving message of Jesus Christ, that ministry teams will be built around him, Father, and that the gospel message will be uninhibited, Father, from going forth and doing a mighty work in this man's country. We bless him today, and we send him with a blessing, Father, and we call fresh legions of angelic activity around his life, Father, around his ministry, fresh reinforcements, new troops for the tasks at hand. Thank you for fresh wind in his sails, and we bless him in Jesus' mighty name. And the people of God said, amen. 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 Awesome. Thank you. Bless you, my friend. Thank you so much. All right. The steps right here for you, brother. Careful going down. Praise God. What an honor, what a privilege to have an awesome man of faith in the house with us tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, I just thank you for your mercy and for your grace, your steadfastness in the middle of an ever-changing, Father, society and culture. Lord, I pray that you would center our hearts tonight on your truth. And I thank you, Father, that as we gather together to hear your words, that the Holy Spirit, God, would speak to our hearts, encourage us and embolden us, Father, for the tasks that you've placed in each one of our lives. Thank you, Father, for this church family that we call Victory Life. Help us to continue to be blessed so that we can be a blessing in our world. And somebody that loved Jesus said, amen. Amen. Go beyond. I was last week in the country of Haiti, and beautiful people in the middle of some really terrible situations. And on the travel there to and from, you know, in the airport and on the airplane, and we had like two connecting flights, and had a lot of time to think, and I had a lot of time to pray. And I feel that this is something that God's laid on my heart very heavily for this specific season of ministry that I'm in, and this specific season of ministry that we're in as a ministry. And I feel like what the Lord would speak to us tonight, beginning tonight and over the next several weeks, is going to be some things that are, for lack of better terminology, they're going to put a fire underneath our chairs. Hallelujah. And what I believe is this, is that I'm going to have some challenging things to say tonight. And these challenging things, I believe, to a group of people that are radically in love with Jesus should just be more fuel on the fire. And I'm believing and still standing with you. And we started a conversation back in January of this year. And I don't know if you've forgotten it or if you still remember it, but I still really do feel, and you let me know, you back me up on this and give me an amen if you're still with me. But I really do believe that Victory Life Durant is called to be a church for a city, not just in a city. Good. Amen. That was a test. I'm not quite as good as leading into it as Sierra is trying to get you excited for next steps, but, you know, you still had a good response, so pat yourself on the back. Good job. Good job. So I believe that we're still called to be a church for a city, and now as our ministry begins to expand and has global reach, I believe that we're called not to be just a church in the United States, but for the United States. I believe that we're not just called to be a church in the world, but for the world. And I believe that for darkness to continue multiplying and expanding, and the kingdom of darkness to continue to grow and expand in the world, that the only reason that that would continue is if the people of light sit and do nothing. But I believe that we're here commissioned by the Lord Jesus to go into all the world and to preach his glorious gospel and to make disciples. And I believe that with one person's life changed at a time, piece by piece, we see the world changed. That's what I believe. And what I feel the Lord burdening me with is this charge, this rally cry. And these things are so fresh and so new still in my heart, and some of the recent whispers from God in my times of prayer this last week, that I knew I was going to need at least one more time beside this time to get it all out. So tonight we're going to begin a conversation, and we're going to begin really opening up our hearts and our minds and our ears and being attentive and asking the Holy Spirit for guidance and direction. Because whether you know it or not, every single one of us is presented with a harvest each day. I heard a pastor say towards the end of last year that the people of God, the ministers of God, and let me just do a quick survey if you believe that you're a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. Good. More than six of you. Six were blessed at the beginning of the service, but more than six of you believe that you're a minister of the Lord Jesus, so that's great. If you believe that you're a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, then here's a concept that we have to really get into our hearts and into our minds. Because a lot of the times, as a group of people, we can look at things like evangelism as somebody else's job. We can look at things like laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover as somebody else's job. We can look at things like, you know, preaching the gospel as somebody else's job, preferably somebody with a microphone. Do you know the people that have done the most good for the kingdom of God and radically changed the course of human history didn't have a microphone to preach the gospel? I love what St. Augustine said. He said, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. As a minister of Jesus Christ, your life is supposed to be a proclamation of the gospel. And I have news for you this evening that if we're going to be ministers, we have to stop reducing ministry to things that we feel like we're good at. If we're going to be effective ministers, this is the Wednesday night crowd, right? You're the ones that are crazy for Jesus, right? You're the ones that want to see the sick healed in Walmart, right? I'm talking to the group of people that are the kind of people that are living their life in such a way that whenever their friends want to throw in the towel on their faith, it's your life that they have to wrestle with before they finally close the lid on their belief in God. I thought I was in the right place. I know that two of my sisters that drove up here tonight, they're in the right place because they hit green lights all the way here. They told me before the service. So I believe God's got something for at least them. Amen. I believe that the call of the Lord in the hour that we live in to the church in America, because that's the platform that he's given me to teach. He's given Pastor Jones a platform to teach in the church in Niger. He's given me a platform to teach in the church in America. So I have to hear and decipher what the Lord's speaking to us in our context. And I have to tell you that going to the places that I've recently gone in the world, it's time for a reality check on the blessing of the Lord that's on our lives. And when we say things like we're blessed to be a blessing, that's only good if people are getting blessed by our lives. If we're blessed to be a blessing, that implies that something from our life should have an impact on somebody else besides us. Are you called to bear fruit? Amen. Not a trick question, you are. Tell me the last time you ever saw a tree eating its own fruit. You don't, do you? A tree bears fruit for who? Other people beside the tree. So my question is, are you blessed or aren't you? Are you blessed? That means you're fruitful. So my question is, who are you allowing to pick off of the tree of your life? Where are those situations and circumstances that you're intentionally going into? You're intentionally going in with the mindset of, somebody is going to get fed by me today. Where are those situations that you're going into with that mindset of, I'm not leaving this doctor's office until somebody is blessed by the Lord? Are you ministers? See, here's the thing about it, church. I gave you the disclaimer at the beginning that I was going to say some challenging things. There might not be a lot of quotes from tonight that you'll want to take and stick on your refrigerator. But there will be things spoken tonight that you'll have to wrestle with in your heart. And I think that if we're really going to make the impact that God wants us to make on the city, in the state, and in our world, we can no longer be afforded the pleasure of comfort. We're saturated in our comforts. We're saturated in our comforts, so much so that our comforts now do not become a platform upon which we can expand and bless others. They have literally become a fence and a wall behind which we hide. There are people in the city that are in desperate need of Jesus. I had lunch with a pastor today, and he's on this incredible mission, and something that God's placed on my heart as well, of uniting the churches in this area to just together once a month and pray. And pray with this one thing, that all the lost in Bryan County would be saved. And he made, yes, praise God. And he made this remark to me at lunch today. He said, I believe we still got a few lost in Bryan County. And I said, brother, I know we've got more than a few. What would happen? Let's dream a little bit. What would happen if that wasn't somebody else's job? I might have to pull a Pastor Mark on you and come down there. No, you really need to hear me. What if that wasn't somebody else's job? I'm going to create a little bit of tension tonight, so just be prepared for it. Might be some awkward pauses. Might be some time for the Holy Spirit to grab you and lightly shake you a little bit. Just very lightly. He's a gentleman after all. What if seeing the lost saved in our city wasn't somebody else's job? What if we don't do it, the job doesn't get done? What if seeing poverty broken in Durant, Oklahoma wasn't somebody else's job? What if seeing kids after kid born into broken families and generational curses pass? What if generational curses being broken in Bryan County and Durant, Oklahoma? What if that wasn't somebody else's job? What if that was the church's job? What if we said, you know what, God, there's room in our hearts to receive the hurting and the broken. There's room in our hearts. There's room in our churches. And there's room in our homes. What if we said, God, you know what? I've got room. I've got room to take that guy to lunch this week. You know what? I've got room to look into being a foster parent. I've got room in my life to get connected with an outreach group and to go be a part of an Adopt-A-Block ministry that we do here in town, and just an hour of my week give back to somebody else. You know, I've got room in my life to start a life group for mothers that have lost children, because that's something that's happened in my life. And I just want a group that deals with how do you walk through the loss of a child. You know, I've got room in my life for that. What if we said, God, I think I'm at a place in my life to where I'm ready to go beyond. I'm ready to go beyond my comforts. I'm ready to go beyond my inconveniences. I'm ready to go beyond my fears. I'm ready to go beyond myself. Let me hit you with a piece of revelation knowledge here really quick. That God does the most supernatural things through ordinary people who make the decision to go beyond. That's what he does. What if we got this posture of living to where we said, you know what? I'm going to go beyond coming and sitting in a service to receive something. I want to make sure that I properly step on everybody's toes tonight. So if I don't get yours on the way out, just stick your foot out and I'll step on it as I'm going out the door. I want to make sure I get everybody. Because let me tell you something, that whenever you really stand face to face with truth, and the truth isn't an idea, it's a person. And the truth's name is Jesus. And when he says things like, what did you do with the talent that I gave you? Did you take it and did you bury it? Because it was comfortable that way. Praise God. Oh man, we better be careful. I feel the Holy Ghost. When you stand before him, see, when you stand before him, a lot of the things that we say aren't really going to matter. It was hot. We experienced that a few weeks ago with the air conditioner going out, right? It was early. I was tired. I like things clean and tidy all the time. So to have somebody in my house to lead a life group, man, that's... Oof. What if you knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if you started a life group this fall... Say you had a life group of 10 people. What if you knew without a shadow of a doubt that in that group of 10 that would be in your house, what if you knew this? What if this was just a fact right on the wall, that two people would be radically healed of whatever disease they were going through? Three marriages would be restored. One person would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If I were to give you the list of everything that was going to happen in your group this fall that God's been dealing with you about leading, if I showed you what would happen this semester, would you be able to look at me and say, I think I'll pass? Are we ministers? Do we believe that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is dwelling on the inside of us? So here's my question. Why couldn't that happen in your group this fall? All right. I meant to start in the shallow end, but I just had too much going in, so I jumped in the deep end. And if we need floaties, we can get those passed out really quick. Jesus said, I gave you that talent. What'd you do with it? Do you notice that in that parable that he has really good things to say about the one that took it and produced more? Not so good things to say about the one that took it and buried it. See, I have to live with this burning truth on the inside of me that whenever I stand before the Lord, he's going to hold me accountable for how I partnered with the other leaders in this ministry to prepare you to stand before the Lord. So I can't afford for us to always just hear things that make us feel good about ourselves. We have to move into a posture, because when we start saying things like, we're not just going to be a church in a city, we're going to be a church for a city. When we say things like, we believe that the back of poverty can be totally broken in Durant, Oklahoma. When we say things like, we believe that we can see everybody in the city saved. When we see things like, we believe we can see everybody in the city walking in divine health and healing. Do you understand that that comes with a fight? Yes. Do you understand that comes with opposition? And we have to be sold out to the fact of, you know what, God, I've made this decision on the inside of me to live so far beyond me that the only thing I can do is depend on you, because if you do not come through for me in this situation, I'm toast. Do you want to know how to see miracles in your life? Do you want to know how to see the supernatural power of God invade your reality every single day? Live a life that's beyond you. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is not so that you can just get electrocuted in your lazy boy watching Family Feud. The power of the Holy Spirit is operating on the inside of you so that whenever you take a stand against Muslims that are occupying your country, so whenever you take a stand against injustice that you see in your city, whenever you take a stand against cancer and every evil disease that's been breeded and birthed out of the very pit of hell, you have something on the other side of that thing that's sure. You have something on the other side of that stance of faith that's able to release breakthrough. God forbid that we would ever start using the Holy Spirit to get us an extra degree of lift in our lazy boy. The Holy Spirit's the great comforter, church. And I can tell you very truly that nothing is more uncomfortable than living a life beyond you. That's why you have him. What's he stirring on the inside of you? What's he been dealing with you about over and over again? But you keep trying to reason it away as it's not the time, or that's for somebody else, or how could I ever do that? Let me tell you, the greatest steps of faith are never anything super large in the natural, but they always have supernatural result. I remember Gideon, the story of Gideon in the book of Judges chapter 6, and there's this terrible times that have happened in the land of Israel. Been taken over by the Midians, and there's famine and there's poverty all in the land. And a lot of times we hear that story of Gideon, and a lot of people put the spin on it like Gideon's hiding out in the wine press trying to preserve himself, and that he's hiding from the enemy, and then God shows up and calls him a mighty man of valor even though he's a coward. And if we'll actually pay attention and read that passage correctly, and we ask ourselves the question, what was Gideon doing in the wine press? He was threshing wheat, wasn't he? Do you know why you thresh wheat? To separate the part that you eat from the part that you don't eat. What was Gideon doing? He was seeing hunger. He was seeing poverty in the land. And he said, you know what? I can't just sit around and live a life that's totally catered to me. I'm going to live a life beyond me. And I'm going to posture myself in a way and be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And I'm not going to thresh wheat out in the open where the Midianites can see me. But I'm going to go in the wine press because I'm going to do something about the hunger situation in my town. And I'm going to start threshing this wheat. And that threshing of the wheat was actually an act of resistance against the powers of darkness in his city. And the angel of the Lord showed up where he was and he said, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. It doesn't look spectacular to thresh wheat, does it? It doesn't look spectacular that every single week we hand out loaves of bread at the food bank. But I can tell you what's spectacular about it is that everybody that walks through that facility gets hands laid on in prayer, and we see miracle after miracle, week after week, and that we go home, and when the kids ask, where did you get this food today? They hear about the people of God in this town that are feeding the hungry. That's supernatural. My question is, church, where are the Gideons among us? I think I see one in every single row. What's that step? We talk about next steps all the time. What's that step in your life? What's that step, that small step that finally puts you in a posture to go beyond yourself? If I can really challenge you with something, I believe that the angel of the Lord is ready to meet you in that same place where he met Gideon. Maybe that step for you is, you know what? An hour of my weekend, I'm going to the Boys and Girls Club here in Durant, and I just want to connect with some kids. I'm a dad. I've got children. I just want to go there an hour in the weekend and just connect with kids that don't have any fathers. Oh, but the game's on. Are you following me? I'm not condemning anybody for watching the game. All right, I'm just not a sports person, so it's easy for me to throw that out there. Pick something like me, like, you know, the buffet's half price. That's mine, you know. Whatever it might be for you, some people hunt, some people throw a ball. I just eat large quantities of food. It's my hobby. Ask me what I like to do. I love to eat. Is everybody with me? I think I remember. I'm not a Bible scholar. I never went to seminary. But I seem to remember something in the scripture about Jesus said, anybody that wants to follow me, needs to do what? Deny them. What was it one more time? Deny and take up their sacrifice, huh? Ooh, ouch. Bad word. Ooh. American church, we don't like that word, do we? Sacrifice? Ooh, no. Tell me about how I get somebody else to do that for me. Jesus didn't say, if you want to follow me, I'll raise up a group of people to lead you from the front that will deny themselves and carry their cross. He didn't say that, did he? Everybody okay? He said, if any man wants to follow after me, you must first deny yourself. Go beyond yourself. Go beyond you. You know the abundant kind of life that Jesus comes to give us? See, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, doesn't he? He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and it more abundantly. Do you know that when you live a life beyond you, you actually move into the most blessed kind of life that there is? A life totally controlled and inhabited by the Spirit of God. A life filled with His desires. How many of you have figured out that your desires are not good all the time? Do you know that God only has good desires? When I live my life in partnership with the desires of the Lord, all I have in my life are good things, even in the middle of hard times. I believe that God would speak to us tonight and stir us up to a place to where we say, you know what? I've got room in my life to do more than I'm currently doing. People say, well, brother, you're getting into works. No, I'm not. Well, I am a little bit, but let me put it to you this way. You know that neither I nor anybody here that talks from this stage believes that you get saved by your works. But I do believe that you're saved so that you can now abound in good works. I do believe that. And because I tend to make some people nervous when I say things like that, we're just going to look at the Bible really quick. James chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 14. This is the brother of Jesus. So he says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. That's the crop dusting prayer whenever you pass the homeless guy, right? Brother, be warmed and filled. The brother can't even hear you. You're in your car. You guys okay? Be warmed and filled. God, just bless them. Fill them up. Fill them up. Fill them up, Lord. What? Let me ask you a question. What do you really anticipate to happen when you pray that? Do you anticipate ravens to come and drop cheeseburgers for him? Because if you actually believe that, I need you to come lay hands on me. Because I don't have that kind of faith. I believe Jesus said, lift up your eyes and see the fields white with harvest and get your rears in gear and harvest. That's what I believe. I believe that's what he said. You say, well, brother, but if I do something for him, what if he goes and he buys smokes? Man, if you were homeless, you might want to smoke too. What if he goes and he wants to buy a little bit of drink? Man, if you're sleeping on the street, you might want to stay buzzed. Is everybody okay? Say, brother, you're supposed to sow into his unrighteousness? No. Here's the thing. Guys, we forget that Matthew 25 doesn't go like Jesus will say to them, whatever you did unto the least of these, you did unto them. He said, whatever you did the least unto the least, blah, 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 blah. About to get off in tongues there. Whatever you did unto the least of these, you did unto who? So when I give money to somebody in need and they take it and they do the wrong thing with it, God, it wasn't for them. It was for Jesus. It's an act of worship to the Lord. When I stop and I actually pay attention to that nudge to just ask the person behind me in line at Walmart, everything okay? Can I pray for you? It wasn't for them. It was for Jesus. What would happen if we allowed ourselves to get beyond ourselves and pay attention to all the places that we'll see Jesus? Can I be really honest with you? About 90% of the time, it ain't in here. Because we're, like, if you average it up, we're probably only here like 10% of the week. You guys okay with me? Probably less than that. Jesus is on the move. Where does Jesus choose to posture himself with the people that we consider least. But you got to get beyond yourself to be able to see that. I remember when I married my wife. Praise God, I'm glad I remember that. But I remember when I married my wife, and I was a good Christian boy some of the time. I was saved at 9 years old and water baptized. And, you know, I knew a lot of the Bible, and I knew a lot about Jesus. Anybody ever been there? You knew a lot about Jesus, but you didn't really know Jesus. I knew a lot about Jesus, a lot of facts about Jesus. And I remember one time we were driving, and there was a homeless guy, and she said something about wanting to stop. And I said, okay, you know, get some change and see what we can give him. And I'll never forget this, because I'd never seen anybody love this way before. Jesus taught me through my wife how to love this way. Aren't you thankful for the people that Jesus has taught you things through in your life? See, for me, it's easy to just like throw money at the problem, especially if it's just $2, right? Like just throw it at the problem. And that's our whole problem, isn't it? Is we see the poor as problems to be solved instead of people to join and to live life with. Because we see people as problems to be solved, don't we? That's what we do. And that's not good. And we need God to help us and forgive us and give us different hearts. But I'll get to James, don't worry. And remember the homeless guy was there, and she said, well, I'm going to get out and talk to him. And I thought, okay, you know, that's sweet. And then she came back and she told me, well, he doesn't have a place to go tonight. I'm like, yeah, he's homeless, I know. You know? And she's like, well, I kind of told him that he'd come sleep on the couch at our house. It was 7 years ago. I am not the man that you see before you today. 7 years ago. Now search yourself real good. That's the church's job, right? To care for people like that. Oh, you're absolutely right. When's the last time you looked in the mirror? You're the church. I got people call me all the time. Pastor, we need to do something about that guy down there in the corner. We sure do. Did you drive past him? You there? What you gonna do? Pastor, we need you to do something about it. I can't, I'm at the buffet. You're gonna have to get that guy taken care of. It was half price. You gotta go beyond, brother. I'll crack a crab leg your way, man. Nome de Patris, Philly, Spirit. Right? Do you know what I thought when she told me that? I can't say it in church what I thought. I said, no way, we're going to do it. Whoa, we ain't doing that. Come to my house, are you kidding me? She's like, that's what they make locks on the door for. I said, yeah, on the outside of the house. Not on the bedroom, inside the house. You know? First of a few that stayed in my house. We're still here, nothing happened to us. Here's the thing about it. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm not telling you to do that. What I'm telling you is I give you that as an illustration of living beyond you. I'd never seen that before in a person. Because I'd seen Christians just crop dust prayer through the locked door and the rolled up window. And then God started taking me places that I was actually out on the street at night in the parts of town that you would drive through and lock your door. So it's like, man, that's a world apart. But the fact of the matter is we had room. We had room. So you know what? Jesus got to stay with us for two nights in our house. And I love it because I know that whenever I get there to look at him and Serena stands before him, that Jesus is going to look at her and say, I didn't have any place to sleep. And you gave me a couch. Don't you want to hear the Lord say that? Man, I would so much rather hear the Lord say, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. Then, why did you bury what I gave you behind a locked door and a rolled up window and climate control, air conditioning? Why'd you do that? Why'd you do that? Why did you bury the gift of healing that I put on the inside of you. And when you were nudged that day at the mall, why didn't you just step out and say, "Ma'am, is it okay if I were to pray for your daughter?" If they tell you no, it's all you can do. You can do the crop dusting prayer, right? But I think if I'm doing my job correctly, church, that I've got to say things that prepare us for that day whenever we meet him. Because he's going to have some questions to ask. The life that I purchased with my blood, what did you do? What did you do? It doesn't look like always letting homeless people stay in your house. Sometimes it looks like just taking somebody a casserole to their house. It's going through a hard time. Sometimes it looks like starting a life group. Sometimes it looks like just stepping out and, you know what, God, I'm going to live beyond me, and I think I might actually sit through step 3 of Next Steps this weekend. Sometimes it might look like picking up that phone and calling whoever it is that's hurt you and that you've been putting on. I think that a glorious church and a church that changes a city is comprised of a group of people that have made a decision to go beyond. And James says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says, "Depart in peace, be warm and filled," but you don't give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is what? But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works." That's your ministry, brother. I have this. And he says, "I will show you faith by my works. You believe that there's one God? Good. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see, then, that a man is justified by works, not by faith only." Anybody got that on their fridge at home? "Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is, so faith without works is also." I don't know about you, but I'm called to pastor a church that's living. How many of you got great faith? I think it's time to go beyond and start letting the works of the Lord Jesus Christ abound in our lives. Do you know that in the book of Revelation, it talks about the bride of Jesus standing before him and wearing fine linens. You know what those fine linens are? In Revelation, the righteous deeds of the saints. If I'm doing my job to prepare you to meet the Lord Jesus, then I've got to make sure we're all looking pretty decent, right? Do your works save you? Absolutely not. Only by calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus and receiving his work are you saved. But I got news for you. That word saved also means redeemed. You redeemed, you were bought with a price so that you can function the way that God designed you to function. And that's a life abounding in good works. I believe as a church that the Lord would say, it's time to go beyond. Each and every one of us, go beyond. Well, how far do I go? Well, Jesus said like this, if somebody asks you to go 1 mile with them, go 2. If they ask you for your jacket, give them another one. So we have to make a decision as we continue on in this series for the 10 that come back. Jesus did it with 12, so by his grace, I need at least 15. So please, 15, come back at least. If I can get 15, we'll be all right. There's probably Judas in there, but we'll take care of that. But we can get at least 15, and we'll be okay. We're going to have to make an internal decision tonight. You know that we don't get to interpret Christianity the way that we want it to be. Do you know that the Bible does that for us? This is Christianity. If any man would follow me, he must first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We got to make a decision internally tonight if we're going to go beyond. So, I told you I was on the plane, right, going back and forth, and we had connecting flights and everything, and I was really appreciative because of the flight from Dallas to Miami on the way there. They had the TVs in the back of every headrest, you know, so I was very grateful for that, and I put my headphones in, and, you know, I'm not super spiritual all the time, guys. I know I'm going to let you down, but I didn't fast and pray. I was like, when the snack's coming, you know? And I put the headphones in, and I got to catch up on a Marvel movie I've been wanting to watch, and it was awesome. But do you know that I just, like, live life with Jesus? Jesus just lives life with me, and he knows how I am, so I really can't pretend that I'm any other way because he'll tell me I'm a liar. So I got to just be who I am. And so right before the movie started, this commercial played. I mean, this commercial, it just grabbed me. And I knew right then and there what I was going to preach for the next few weeks on here in Durant. So I want to show you this, the commercial that I saw. And then I'm going to come make some closing comments here.
He wasn't the stuff of legends. There was no magic up his sleeve. He didn't have wings or a cape. He was but just a man.
Praise God. Isn't that good? Let me tell you something. You said that you're a minister. That's ministry right there. Brother, I dived in my Sunday best for you, and then trumpet right back in there again. I love it what the narrator says. He said he wasn't the stuff of legends. He didn't have a suit or a cape. He was just a man with the will to go beyond. I believe that a lost and dirt and dying and broken world out there needs a group of people that aren't afraid to dive into the middle of situations and events and things with their good clothes on and be able to retrieve the thing that they've lost, which is connection to the heart of the Father. And I believe that no matter how many times they decide to drop in that bunny, we got to go in. So why don't you stand in this place if you say, God, I'll go beyond. I'll go beyond for you. As many times as they drop in that bunny, I'm just going to go beyond. Man, do you mean it? You're standing. You got to mean it. He already saw you, so you can't back out now. Oh, praise God. Why don't you just put your hand on your heart and close your eyes? Jesus, what an honor. What a privilege to be in a company of people that hear words, God, that convict us and inspire us and encourage us, and we all just have one heart, and that heart is to say yes to you. Oh Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to crash in on us even now as we pray. Father, help us to live as a people with a will to go beyond. That when somebody asks to go a mile with them, we'd go two. Father, deliver us from prayers, God, that be warmed and be filled. Help us be your hands and your feet. Help us do unto the least of these what we would do to you. Father, you have a harvest prepared for each and every one of these precious people here tonight. You have things that you've been downloading into their heart and things that you've been causing to burn on the inside of them. And in the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit of fear, every spirit of insecurity that would remind them of all the things that they're unable. And I call upon your grace to be made manifest in their lives, because your grace truly is your ability in the midst of our inability. So Father, we much rather boast in our weaknesses, because where you are weak, where we are weak, there you are made strong in our lives. And Jesus, we believe that your love is strong in us. Give us eyes to see, Lord. Help us to see beyond, Father, our comforts. Help us to see beyond our conveniences. And Lord, by the fires of your Holy Spirit, burn in us an unquenchable thirst and desire to see the lost saved, to see the sick healed, to see the poor cared for, to see the widows visited, to see the orphans brought in to a family. Help us not rest, God, until we see this thing accomplished in our day. In this city, God, we say, let it be like heaven on earth. Jesus, we confess that your only limitation is our act of cooperation. Help us to cooperate with what you're doing in the earth. Help our lives to be a just reward for your suffering. Help us to be a people that will go beyond. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.